This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last Tuesday evening, Clayton Lockett was due to be executed in Oklahoma for his role in the murder of 19-year-old Stephanie Neiman. But the execution by lethal injection did not go as planned. Lockett clearly suffered after the drugs entered his body through an IV in his groin. The prison warden called off the execution, but 45 minutes later, after the start of the execution, Lockett died from a heart attack. The now botched execution has caught the attention of the world, including President Obama.
What happened in Oklahoma is deeply troubling. The individual who was subject to the death penalty had committed heinous crimes, terrible crimes. And I've said in the past that there are certain circumstances in which a crime is so terrible that the application of the death penalty may be appropriate. Mass killings, the killings of children. But I've also said that in the application of the death penalty in this country, we have seen significant problems. Racial bias, an uneven application of the death penalty, situations in which there were individuals on death row who later on were discovered to have been innocent because of exculpatory evidence. And all these, I think, do raise significant questions about how the death penalty is being applied. And this situation in Oklahoma, I think, just highlights some of the significant problems there.
Have you changed your thoughts on capital punishment after hearing the details of what happened in Oklahoma? Do you think that this was cruel and unusual punishment? Or do you think that Texas and other states should stick with lethal injection? Call in with your thoughts and your ideas and your comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Mari Levin, she's a death row defense attorney currently suing Texas to release the identity of the manufacturer of our state's death drug. And Debbie Deno, she is a professor of law at Fordham University. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
Mari, let me ask you, you're suing Texas to release the identity of who's making the state's death drug. So we don't know who's making this drug. Why is that important?
It's important for a number of reasons. But I think stepping back for a minute, because it's easy to get lost in the weeds here, that it's important because Texas should not be carrying out the execution process, which includes the purchase of the drugs, in secret, and that what happened in Oklahoma, the botched attempted execution of Mr. Lockett, began weeks before April 29th, when Oklahoma pursued a path of secrecy, and that is the path that Texas is now attempting to take, and that should deeply concern everybody.
Now, why is Texas keeping it secret? I've heard that when the names of the manufacturer is released, that the manufacturer faces public pressure and they say we don't want to do business with Texas anymore selling this lethal drug.
That is Texas's argument. Actually, what they argue, the justification that they assert for keeping this information secret is that the compounding pharmacies, not the manufacturers, are subject to threats. And that contention really has no basis in fact. The pharmacy that previously sold compounded drugs to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for use in executions did receive, apparently, a number of communications from people voicing their opinions that they did not, you know, approve of that pharmacy's participation in executions. And that is, you know, that is the right of people to voice their opinions. And if it has a particular effect, that certainly is not a justification for Texas to proceed under a shroud of secrecy in carrying out executions.
Debbie Deno, a professor of law at Fordham University. In Oklahoma, we're hearing that Lockett, the inmate who was executed, that he they couldn't find veins for him, that he had to be tased earlier in that day, that he had been refusing eating for a while. That the problems with the execution is not the drugs, but the IV system. Is that what happened?
Well, there are many problems with executions. They can include the drugs, and compounding pharmacies are notoriously bad for sources of drugs because they can be providing impure drugs or expired dates, et cetera, and we would never know about it with all the secrecy. So that's number one. But number two, there are additional problems with these executions. We don't know who's performing them. We don't know the physiological status of the inmate. I mean, Mr. Lockett, they didn't even know his vein status until hours before his execution. So it's really a combination of factors. That's why the secrecy is so highly problematic.
Add one thing to what Ms. Deno just said. We really don't know what the cause or causes for what happened in Oklahoma. I mean, I understand that there was disclosure that they did have trouble gaining access to his veins, and there was a problem because they covered up the access point and so couldn't monitor what was going on. But it's also true that he ultimately died from a heart attack, and one of the drugs that was set to be administered is one that would have caused a heart attack. So did that reach his heart? Did it infiltrate into his flesh? Was it, did any of those drugs make it into his body? And was the problematic nature of the drugs themselves part of what caused the problems? And we just don't know, and that's why there's a broad call for an independent investigation of what happened.
But Maury Levin, in Texas, we're using a different drug. We're using just one large dose of pentobarbital. And is that a totally different case then?
Well, we're using a dose of compounded pentobarbital, and that's important because compounded drugs are made far outside the oversight of the FDA, and as the prisons across the country have had increasing difficulty in obtaining lethal injection chemicals, the sources that they have been forced to go to are farther and farther on the fringe. So we have cause to be deeply concerned about the quality, purity, potency, effectiveness of the drugs with which states like Texas are intending to use to carry out executions. But
all right, so we're out of time for this break. We've got to take a quick break, Maury Levin. We have to let you go. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, the state of Texas says they are not going to change any of their procedures for the death penalty. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the death penalty after Oklahoma, where on Tuesday and scheduled execution went horribly wrong, where the inmate Clayton Lockett apparently suffered greatly after the administration of the lethal drugs entered his system. He died 45 minutes after the execution began from a heart attack. It's raising questions about how we conduct a death penalty in Oklahoma, across the country, here in Texas. Joining me to discuss this, Debbie Deno. She is a professor of law at Fordham University. And so, Ms. Deno, when we were listening earlier, we had a soundbite from President Barack Obama, and he was talking about racial bias in the death penalty. Can you unpack that for me? What does he mean by that?
Well, there's been substantial evidence over the decades about the fact that minorities are grossly disproportionately represented on death row, and these are from studies that have controlled for other kinds of factors that might indicate disparities between all groups, such as, how serious the crime was, et cetera. And these studies have also held across all states or all death penalty states throughout the country.
Now, the federal government, does the federal government, would it have any power, maybe under the FDA, to suddenly say we have to have some sort of oversight about how the death penalty is administered?
There's no movement now, or at least immediately now, for the federal government to have any kind of oversight. And I mean, certainly the FDA wouldn't have oversight in a situation like this, because the FDA concerns testing drugs that are to help people, not to kill people. But that said, I mean, President Obama mentioned recently about having some sort of oversight just to start investigating these executions across the country.
Okay, so under the Justice Department, or maybe under some court body? I mean, it seems to have 50 ways of doing this, and having some that may be botched or clumsy. How may fall under the cruel and unusual punishment?
Well, that's right. I mean, to answer your question, there are 50 different ways that we could start approaching this, or having some sort of oversight. I mean, in 1890 in this country, the state of New York had a commission of three people who were looking at every execution method that had ever been used in the world. I mean, in the United Kingdom in the 1950s had an expert commission that looked at the death penalty in the entire country. I think that would be useful for us to do here, and they ended up writing a report on it.
So when the execution went poorly in Oklahoma, did it sort of, I mean, we had this idea that with this lethal injection that we're just kind of putting this prisoner to sleep, and it's all very sanitized and very clean. But is the veil off now? We realize that it's not that.
Well, absolutely, but I wanted to make clear that, lethal injection was adopted in 1977 by the state of Oklahoma, ironically, in this country, and it was first used by Texas in 1982. That first lethal injection execution in Texas in 1982 was horribly botched. Nonetheless, states throughout the country started adopting lethal injection, but we've had botched executions for 32 years now in this country. They've become more apparent recently because states have started experimenting with these drugs in the last 5 or 6 years, and we've had, ironically, many more botches now in the last 5 years than we've probably had in the history of lethal injection in this country.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Joe has called in. Joe, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is, I have read or heard that there is something that death row inmates can do, either in taking a drug or in causing punctures, that would weaken their veins to where they are not suitable for insertion of an IV. Now, is this just a myth, or is that something that can actually be done? And isn't it possible that this fellow did the same thing, because it's obvious that he did not want to be put to sleep?
All right, Joe, thanks for that question. Appreciate it. He didn't want to be put to dead. But also I've heard that there are some inmates that really bulk up their arms. They try to make it very difficult to stick the needle in. So, Deborah, had you heard that?
I've not heard any of these things. I don't know, first of all, how a death row inmate would get the kind of drug that would hinder their veins. And in terms of the bulking up, I mean, an experienced injectioner could get around that. So, many inmates have a history of drug use before they enter death row, and their veins have been
collapsed.
Are problematic as a result of that.
Okay. All right, Joe. Thanks for that question. Appreciate it. Rose has called
Thank
in.
You.
Rose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Is there a way of seeing physically a record, Googling it or something, to find out about these botched incidents with the drugs that were used these past few years?
Okay, Rose, thanks for that question. Deborah Denno, law professor at Fordham University, how much public information is there about how well carried out these executions are?
Well, I've been writing, thanks for your question, Rose. I've been writing about this topic for over two decades now, and I've documented numerous
botched executions and some of the work that I've done. But also if you go to the Death Penalty Information website, and you can find that website just by Googling Death Penalty Information Center, they will have a whole list of botched executions, including botched lethal injections.
So how do you define botched?
Well, of course, botched is in the eyes of the, you know, of the perceiver. I define botched as any execution that's gone awry from what was expected, and that could include, you know, Texas has had many executions over the decades that where syringes have fallen out, where drugs have started leaking from the cords that are going around. From the executioner to the execution chamber to fuel the inmate, indications that the inmate is in distress, indications that the inmate wasn't fully conscious when the inmate was being executed, etc. So anything that was not going according to plan.
There was a case in Georgia of a young man who was executed using the electric chair, and he survived. So would that count as a botched execution?
Oh, that's right. I mean, it would, and I think you're thinking of 1946 in Louisiana. This was
yes.
The case of Willie Francis, and
exactly.
I actually spent a week in the small town where he was executed, interviewing some of his relatives. But that, you know, that was certainly considered a botch. Nonetheless, that was decades ago, and the United States Supreme Court held that he should be executed a year later, and he was.
Okay, back to the phones. The phone line is 614-8980, 614-8980. Jane has called in. Jane, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. You know, I understand everybody being concerned about doing things the right way, but I'm sorry. What about the victims? You know, I don't know what this guy's crime was, but most people on death row commit murders, heinous murders. Stabbing people 40 and 50 times, and those people live through the majority of the stabbings and have to suffer excruciating pains and their last minute to death. And yet here we're giving this criminal who maliciously took somebody's life with no care about their comfort and about how they were going to spend their last breath. And here we are so focused on protecting this murderer's execution and making it painless. He suffered a heart attack. If he was guilty for that crime and he killed somebody, his heart attack was nothing compared to the victim. I'm sorry. I understand execution is a necessary thing in our legal system. And whether I agree with it or not, it's not the point. But we're so focused on protecting the one who committed a heinous crime and not worried about what he did to somebody else.
Okay, Jane, appreciate your comments. Thank you for calling in. But we did mention the name of the woman that was murdered, 19-year-old Stephanie Niemann. I always make a point of mentioning the victim whenever we talk about death penalty cases because I never want them to be forgotten about. But I'm going to let Deborah Dinno respond to that.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Jane. I mean, nobody's sympathetic with these inmates, and everyone pays attention, a lot of attention to the victims, including myself. So I think what is happening here is we do have an Eighth Amendment that's supposed to prevent cruel and unusual punishments. No matter what any of us think about these inmates and what they've done, that's the law of the land. That's what our founding fathers put in place. The Eighth Amendment was specifically about preventing cruel and unusual punishments. So unless we change the law, we have to follow this law in the same way that we do any other, and that's what all of this talk is about.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to, you know, Jane when her statements, and she was, you know, talking about, you know, there are a lot of people that feel that way, and it's difficult to parse out the clinical, analytical thoughts about with the death penalty and doing it properly, if we're going to have that, and then also remembering that we're somehow elevating the criminal over the victim.
And if I could, I just wanted to add one thing. What happened in Oklahoma and what happens in many of these botches is a result of incompetency and ignorance. It's not a state-sanctioned way of executing someone. So, you know, the fact that people nobody in Oklahoma wanted this to happen. They just went about it the wrong way. So part of me doesn't want to also reward bad work in terms of executions.
Another point that President Obama made in the comments that we aired earlier was talking about the number of innocent people that have been found on death row. Certainly, if anyone is executed, I guess we should make it clear that they actually did do the crime.
That's right. That's right. I mean, a new study just came out saying that over 4% of those on death row, if they were allowed to live, we would find out that they were innocent.
Right. So let's get another caller on the line really quickly. Bob has called in. Bob, you're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the source.
Well, your speaker has obviously studied this for some time. I mean, what's the best way to do it?
Okay, Bob, thanks for your question. So, Deborah Deno, how would you prefer to execute someone if you had to make the choice?
We have five methods of execution. I think firing squad, which is a method of execution still in this country, should be the one that should be used. And I think that would satisfy some of the concerns that someone like Jane has. This is a method that for which we have trained experts. We have people who are actually trained to kill, such as prison guards or police officers. There would be five shooters within 10 yards of an inmate who would have a target on his or her chest to indicate where their heart is. The death would be instantaneous, basically, and it would certainly be certain. And
so 1977, we had the firing squad for Gary Gilmore in Utah, and I guess it worked.
It worked, and even his father said later that the death was dignified.
He said he chose that way because he said he wanted to.
He chose that over lethal injection.
He wanted to die a man, he said. All right, I want to thank you so much, Deborah Deno, for joining us. She's a professor of law at Fordham University. This is The Source on KSTX.